My first name's Colin, but I didn't really go by.
There's 63 of us.
Oh.
So it was weird.
So
yeah.
Well, circle of life, right?
Yeah.
Colin goes by Chase.
Thank you.
I don't know if
oh, yeah, I'm going to write that down.
Because I remember seeing your flyers.
Oh, yeah. So
the name just be, you know, we just all
of course.
By Colin.
I had a campaign manager at the beginning of that that recommended I use my first name. That's the whole reason that happened, obviously. But I
why,
honestly
why
wish I
that?
Had used Chase.
People would have recognized you that knew you.
Yeah, but, like, I used Colin because I went by Colin until I was, like, 20. I'm 31 now, and I started going by my middle name because my parents called me Colin Chase, and I was like, I'll just go by one.
Colin
yeah.
Chase.
Okay, welcome everybody to our meeting. Yes, she's recording. And welcome Councilmember Larson to our meeting. Does anybody know if Alyssa's coming or are you in her stead?
I talked to her Saturday night and she's planning on coming.
Yeah, she
okay.
Wants to
okay, hopefully tonight's meeting will not be as long as that's. Does everybody, or at least do the committee members all have the link to Dropbox?
Yes.
You yeah, search on Dropbox.
It would have come from Wendy Page.
Yeah. Okay.
I think so I got that. It's
I'm sure I did. And because that's where the tracking, the official tracking sheet is housed, as well as the roster of
when was it sent out?
Oh.
About 6 or 8 weeks ago. I had to find it by searching on Dropbox.
So this one?
Yeah, this one.
But that
I'm sorry.
And I just bring it up because I spent quite a bit of time looking through emails for Wendy looking for
yeah.
it today. So
so I don't know if that's
so
yeah, that's on
Dropbox,
Dropbox, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just clicked a link and
yeah.
an email from Wendy.
Yep.
What's our Wi-Fi here? So, in any case,
yeah.
if you if you don't have it, then contact Wendy, and she will she can send you a link to it. Okay, we only have one citizen here who's also a council member, but do we have any citizen comments? Just in case.
Oh. I didn't see your comment. Sorry.
I'm also a citizen, but I don't have anything.
Okay. Do we... have the committee members read the minutes from last month? Okay. Well, I looked them over. I didn't see anything that was a discrepancy, so I'll motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second it.
Or second it. Okay. I think the Trails Series events and calendar for 2024, wasn't that a Mason item on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. So we will skip that. If he shows up, we'll backtrack. Okay. The Kindness Initiative.
I can do a quick update.
Okay.
So Mason.
And by the way, welcome, Alyssa.
Thank you. Sorry.
And we have present. We should go around. Sorry. Janet Welsh.
Oh, Jane Hall.
Corey.
Markusich.
Ken. Chief. And Sherry. And Alyssa.
Alyssa.
And
I have to start correcting people
now. Alyssa.
Alyssa. Alyssa. Okay.
And Chase.
Yes.
Okay.
So, just for maybe for these guys, Craig Black is the chief of police. He knew that.
Yeah.
And Sherry is our community development director, Sherry Pace. And I'm the city manager. We're the staff assigned to this committee.
I'm just saying on the
and
side.
And Corey is a citizen.
There's a long-term
then,
yeah. Well, no.
And
long.
Then every committee has a council member assigned to them. So Lisa is our council member. So she kind of works between the committee and the city council. So thank you for letting me give more explanation.
Okay. So, Alyssa,
with the Kindness Initiative,
the organization came and presented to city council, and there was good support among city council to partner with this organization in some ways, either as an independent event or as part of other events through the city to focus on kindness. And I've also been meeting with Mason and Curtis Bennett, who works with this organization, and the mayor. We've been going to the elementary schools in the city and asking them to partner with One Kind Act a Day. Well, they are asking them to partner with One Kind Act a Day, and the mayor and I are reviewing different resources and collaborations that the city council has with different with the elementary schools. And so far, we've met with Foxborough and Orchard, and Orchard is adopting and going to do a One Kind Act a Day event, I think before the end of the school year. And then Foxborough is as well, although they are planning to do something bigger and have it be for next school year. So they're meeting again in June to go through that. And we have not yet been able to connect with Adelaide Elementary. And we're not sure if we're going to also visit the charter schools. So that's the latest. Mason might have more information than that. That's just what I've been involved in.
So it's for elementary school age kids?
It is, but not exclusively. That's so far what they're doing. So there's a man who maybe 8 years ago was feeling frustrated at increased lack of civility in the political world. And so he funded this nonprofit, and it's fully funded by him personally. So none of the elementary schools are asked to fundraise or to pay any money to participate. And they come in and they'll bring in speakers or do an assembly or bring in like banners and posters and stickers for children to do a kindness initiative. With the example that they used is that the students would set a goal of doing 21,000 acts of kindness in the 3-week period, and then they would come back to the school and report on it, and then just kind of get hyped up to show
kindness. Is it national thing? Is the man?
The man who started it is from Utah. So its hub is here, and I'm not sure if it has gone outside of Utah.
Is it Mr. Bennett that started it?
No, he's the CEO.
Okay.
So it's just a hired staff for the nonprofit. The man who started it, you might remember his name, Stavros something?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't remember. He's
we can pull it up. We have this
wealthier man than me. He lives in Park City.
So we need to help him.
At least at some point. Mm-hmm. You can live wherever he wants.
So Stavros is his first name? It's not Stavros.
No, I don't know, maybe.
Stavros.
I don't know. Who's that? Oh, I've never been to cell phone today.
He's the guy that...
He's the energy...
Yeah.
Oh, it might be him.
It is him.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Cosgrove.
Well, I keep hearing that wrong.
K-O-S-R-O. And then last name is Semnani. S-E-M-N-A-N-I.
Yeah.
I just know him from another volunteer gig I have.
Okay. Oh, great. Wonderful.
He's very
wonderful. I know there can be multiple experiences with this stuff. That's great. Cosro.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I should look at the spelling and then it will go in my brain.
Yeah.
It's
unusual.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And Chief, did you have an update for Communities to Care for class schedule?
No.
Okay, so should we defer that to March or April?
As an agenda item?
Yes.
I'm sorry, remind me of what I was doing on that. I remember we brought them in to give you an update on what they could do, but I don't remember an assignment on which class you wanted.
Just the class schedule.
Well, they won't set a schedule unless we, for us, that would apply to us, unless we say we want it, which one we want, when we want to do it.
So they're doing one right now.
They are doing one right now.
Yeah.
It ends in about
two or three weeks.
Something.
Yeah, so we've been doing...
Did they fill that class?
I don't know if they totally filled it, but I think they've got about... 8 couples and then several kids.
Yeah,
we're going to do dinner for them.
Yeah.
We're going to do their end dinner for them. So I knew that number.
Well, based on our goals, one is not until fall. The Everyday Strong is until fall.
Is that the one you want to do?
But That's what we had talked about last month.
Okay.
But then we had a third one that we were looking at, the social development strategy for late spring, early summer. So that would be probably May, June period.
Okay, so Everyday Strong, you would like to schedule for the fall?
Right. And then the social development strategy for late spring, early summer, so just.
I thought we decided not to do one in that timeframe for everything else that was going on in the city though.
I missed your last meeting, so.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
We could reach out to them and see.
I can see.
See what their availability is, yeah.
One thing we did talk about last time also was that we wanted to maybe defer to their expertise and preferences. Like if they had a particular class they thought was a better fit for the city that rather than us pick, they might have better decision making criteria for which one is the best fit. Same with time in the year. If they feel like, you know what, we don't get good enrollment during these months, we trust.
Okay, I will reach out to Danielle. I have a meeting with her tomorrow, I think. Yeah, I have a meeting with her and the Communities of Care tomorrow, and I will just talk to them about if they can schedule an Everyday Strong in the fall and what their thoughts are about this particular class at this time. Or it seems that we had discussed though that this early spring is just so heavy.
May was what we talked about.
May, and did we talk about June and 1st? I mean, because between basically May 1st and
July
the end
3rd.
Of July 3rd, this city is just buried. Mm-hmm. Not that they couldn't do something here and we could do that, but
if it's just a
it might be something our residents
could do. Yeah, if it's just a matter of using City Hall, that's one thing. But, Linda is pretty slammed on social media. It'd be hard for her to advertise and do stuff.
I'll double check with that, but it might be better to offer them to say, listen, what if we do the one of them in early fall and one of them in midwinter before the, like, October-ish.
Okay.
Before
so
the,
that would be like September?
Well, September or October.
Yeah. But if it's a one-day thing?
Oh, it's not. It's like a six-week thing.
Both of these ones?
Oh yeah, these are all multi-week.
One of them is
things.
One day, and I think that was the development one that we had identified as that might be a good fit because it is such a smaller time frame.
Okay, you guys heard things I didn't, so.
And that might be a good question for Danielle, if she has, you know.
Yeah, a one-day thing is different.
Yeah.
I just don't think that we're going to get citizen participation between May and July.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think July and August are so tough for families.
I agree.
That maybe September, particularly the last half of September, seems to settle down. So, September, and then the start of the six-week one.
I would love it. I think it's enough. If they have like a summary that happens at the end of the class that says, you know, we have this many people participate, it was a great, you know, just like two or three sentences that you could then come back here and be like, hey, we just wrapped up another, or they could email it directly to the chair and
sure.
Say, hey, we just wrapped up another session, this is how it went. Maybe there was a lot of interest in this topic, or this topic didn't seem to really draw in a lot of people, the time of day seemed to not fit, or whatever, so that we can.
I think that would be helpful. That would be
best as far as
because then we can keep track of what's working.
And if you don't want to add that to your work.
No, I certainly can ask her.
Email.
Just so you know, Everyday Strong is taught online. There is a class beginning in 3 days up at New Ames in Layton. And then they've got three other classes scheduled online. And they're 90-minute classes.
Are they live Zoom classes, or are they recorded videos?
It looks like you will receive a meeting link, so it looks like it's a meeting. That's May 13th.
And are they one-day events?
90 minutes.
Is that just the one-off, 90 minutes? Oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
April 17th and March 21st, from 8 to 9:30 every one of those days.
Okay.
And maybe we can have Linda post links, push out a notification, something like that.
Yeah, I think after Craig meets with Danielle, let's, we'll, I assume we're okay if we schedule something in April or May.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we did for last year.
Then we can push.
We don't always need to screen through when the scheduling times are.
We'll just pick one that works. Yeah. Great.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Next item is review of draft city council presentation for the annual report.
So, do you want me to take a second and tell them what we're gonna do?
Sure.
So our citizen committees, make an annual report to the city council. And the content of the report for this committee has always been, last year's was our first report that we did. And so we reminded the city council of the four main areas that the council adopted in their resolution. Then we went through what that committee had accomplished in its first year of formation, because this is a relatively new committee. Then we walked through these are five areas that also were adopted by the city council. And under each of these five areas, this committee put some goals together for each one. And I'll show you where those are on our spreadsheet. But anyway, this becomes the format of the presentation, and it's kind of a reporting back to the city council on what we're doing in each of these areas. And so, if that makes sense to you, I'm going through it really fast. So what I discussed with Janet just a few minutes ago is taking this document, which was our 2023 goals, and putting them into the same presentation. And then next Tuesday night, Janet's going to present on behalf of this committee, report back to the city council. Are you sure? Yeah, well, if you can't, we can change it. But that's what we have on the schedule. I'm pretty sure. Oh, yeah, no problem. Let me see.
What time?
Is it in the work session or in the general session?
It's in the general session.
Oh, it's just.
After 7?
7.
7 when it starts, but you wouldn't be there at 7. Depending on who's doing the thought. Some of those run long.
The last one was pretty long.
It was long, but it was so cool, right?
It was great.
We invited the Martin Luther King speech winners from Orchard Elementary to come and do their speeches for the thought of
the
city council.
That one.
Oh, that was last.
I
oh,
was
sorry.
I know which one you're talking about. Also was long. So the students came and did their speeches, and it did run long, but it was so cute. They did such a good job.
Okay.
It was just last Wednesday.
We're looking for the notes that Sharon made in the main notes. So here's our goals for 2024, we'll take this spreadsheet and we'll incorporate it into the PowerPoint, and then I'll send it to you tomorrow or Wednesday, and you can look it over and change it if you want.
Okay. One thing you just might want to be prepared for is the row 8 and 9 on the spreadsheet about emergency preparedness. Ordinance change required is the note of column G, because it originally included emergency preparedness.
Still does, yes.
And that they're going to have to change the ordinance to remove that. Because I guess there was some controversy, and we're not really pursuing that.
Well, I don't think there's controversy. I think it's really whether the city council wants to help this committee define a role in emergency preparedness. And I have no, this was a, when this resolution or this ordinance that created the committee was first adopted, there wasn't unanimity on the city council about emergency preparedness.
Right, or even what focus.
But
is
those,
that typical? The kitchen sink
this this and, committee and an ordinance has to be created for the communities that, or the designation of the city's designation. Do most other cities doing an ordinance include emergency preparedness?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, it's not uncommon, but we just don't, that's one piece of this committee that we've never had clear direction on. We're uncertain as a staff what this committee is supposed to do on emergency preparedness. You could spend all your committee meetings on emergency preparedness. It's a huge area.
Right.
And the purpose of the committee from the previous council was really to address physical and mental well-being in the community, not really emergency preparedness.
Yeah, as I remember that emergency, and you might have been on the council when that happened, but it was almost an afterthought to add that in.
It was.
And it was agreed to, but there was never...
And it's so loaded.
I mean, I think it's a great issue to take back to the council and say, look, we don't do a lot in emergency preparedness. We don't know what to do.
It doesn't
really fit with the physical and mental well-being mission of the committee.
Okay.
It's related, of course. I mean, you could make a connection. You could make a connection to it, but you could also spend your entire time working on it.
There's not another citizen committee that does emergency preparedness.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Well, I guess, like, is that something the... There's a fire department committee.
The county does emergency preparedness.
Yeah.
And we have staff.
The city has a staff member that attends that and works on emergency preparedness issues. And then we have a volunteer that also helps us. So I think if you compare us to Bountiful, we're a lot less organized. Like, we have not organized neighborhoods like Bountiful has done, with neighborhood captains and all this structure that they have. But
in all fairness, it's not Bountiful itself that's done that. It's the LDS Church that's done that. And Bountiful participates with those neighborhood captains. It is not Bountiful that went out and said, we're going to form an emergency preparedness.
And they don't have a citizen committee that does it?
I don't think they have a citizen committee. They had an assistant police chief that was part of it, one of their two or three, but he's retired. So I don't even know who's covering it for him now.
I don't know.
But he was kind of their city point of contact.
So there's probably more the city should do, but it's really not a functioning part of this committee. I would agree with you. It's a great issue. We should raise it next week with the council. It's a great issue to raise.
And we will, actually. The council is revisiting the original ordinance that created this committee. And it is for the purpose of reevaluating the membership of the committee, that there are the voting board members that are appointed, but that we are wanting to expand the membership for other citizens who want to participate. We're not voting board members, which we've talked about. So passing a new version of this ordinance is a potential on the future in the next couple of months. This would be the right time to address whether we think this should be in the ordinance or not.
Or whether a different committee with different expertise.
Right. And I actually would love, and this maybe is a voting item, where I then would go to city council and say, here's what this committee voted for, thinks should happen. Is the citizen recommendation for how to manage this? So.
Okay, well, let's vote on that. Okay, all three of us that are voting for.
Four.
Oh, what? No.
Four. No, it was.
Chase?
No,
he's also
not.
On the field. Did you know that?
No.
Oh.
Sorry.
It's new replace. I'm sorry. I came in late, so I thought that.
I thought he was here as a city council.
Larson is new appointed member replacing Valerie.
Oh, okay.
This is Janet. She's the chair.
Yeah. I thought you were
Corey.
Here as a city council member.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Not on the city council.
Oh, okay.
Not yet.
Oh, it's Chase.
Maybe one day.
Chase
Larson.
Member, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chase Colin Larson.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, we went over
it. Yeah.
Chase
Valerie's
voice.
Yes. So, four voting members.
Okay.
Which is for sure a quorum.
So,
so you've already been put on the, how does it work? I don't know
appointed
how.
Appointed officially.
So you're officially on
appointed,
the
appointed
now?
Voted by the city council, and yes, that already happened.
I thought you won your city council.
I did not. The same process that you went through, but just later.
Yeah.
So this is his first meeting.
Got it.
So,
one meeting ahead of you.
Okay.
Right.
Do you feel that we should be handling emergency preparedness recommendations to the city council or not?
It's a lot.
I say no.
I say no.
I say no as well.
I think it's out of our scope.
My thought on it is it needs to be talked about somewhere, but yeah, I agree that I don't know if it's the Health and Wellness Committee that should be doing that. I feel like it should be whatever it's called, the one that works with the fire departments.
We don't have a citizen committee that does that. There's a county-level committee, I think, that maybe does that. But one thing we could recommend to the city council is we think emergency preparedness matters, but it probably should be its own group, not part of a different group.
Well, its scope is way bigger than
it's really big.
And the thing is, it's going to involve huge expenditures by the city. Because Ken and I have talked about this, but my shock that the city didn't have built-in backup generators at every well house.
We do now.
But you do now.
Yeah, we got a grant. We had a federal grant for it.
So. Oh, good. Good.
They're not fully installed yet, but we have the generators.
But like, you know, for remediations like that, that's $1 million probably. And it involves changing the way design standards are done for any new construction to make sure things like that are included. It's a pretty loaded thing, just aside from, you know, the fire department preparedness and the organization preparedness. It'll probably be some of the biggest expenditures the city makes for, you know, a year or two or three if they decide to push forward.
I know, they do some pretty expensive stuff.
Yeah.
So, anyway, okay. So
the question is, do you think emergency preparedness should be within the scope of the Health and Wellness?
No.
Yes.
We also
out of our scope.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I will go back and say that to the council and we might be crafting and passing a slightly amended resolution ordinance. Yes. Will you scroll down?
It's
to the
a
votes?
Resolution.
Can I see the vote?
Yeah, so we had 3 ayes, 1 nay, and someone who was not there.
And I think if I remember right, Councilmember Horton voted against it because she didn't think that the emergency preparedness should be part of this. She thought that scope was too big too.
Right.
Interesting.
Now it's all coming back.
And I think this was like the fall of
September.
Yeah,
that was before
I got on in January.
Before he pulled it up, I thought it was January. I think we just formed.
I think it started meeting in January.
Mayor Horak sits on the committee for the
fire
district, right?
Yes.
Maybe. Is that something that they work with all the cities on? Or?
Well, they don't do an emergency preparedness role.
Oh, okay.
They have a first responder role, emergency medical, and emergency fire.
All can understand. Emergency preparedness as a government role is really housed under Davis County.
Okay.
They do have a full-time emergency preparedness director who works with each of the cities with our different levels that we're at. Some cities like Bountiful, like Ken says, have very organized neighborhoods and groups. Others are not so organized. But as far as an emergency management issue that were to happen in North Salt Lake, most of the executive staff and a lot of our people within our departments have been FEMA trained. We know what our roles are. So for example, if we had to stand up an emergency management, a FEMA-based emergency management committee, we could do that as a city. And that allows us to ask for resources from the state, from other cities. You know, let's say we need equipment from Bountiful that they're not using. We have these interlocal agreements. Where I think it lacks is really what would we expect from basic neighborhoods going on? And that's where I think these neighborhood organizations that the church has done a really good job establishing would say, listen, we may be on our own without government assistance for up to 72, maybe even a little bit longer. And we know as a city, we could be 7 days out from federal aid. We would have to make things happen for 7 days, and we are, as a city government, prepared to keep operations going. Now, we may not have roads to get through that, depending on what the event was, but it's kind of a two-pronged look at emergency management. And I really think the North Salt Lake's soft spot on that's always been the citizen involvement. We had Uniting Neighbors 15 years ago that was formed up for the very same reason. Mm-hmm. It had a lot of excitement. They had a little book for neighborhoods. And then by the time Uniting Neighbors went away, I don't think anybody, Stan would show up. And
The city has an emergency preparedness manual for citizens. It's on the city's website. We've distributed it as part of, we have a new resident package that we send to people. But the latest example was the windstorm that we had that knocked all the trees down. So the city immediately, the morning of the windstorm, partnered with Davis County. We were able to get National Guard trucks to come in and help us for 4 days. We were able to get, the state of Utah provided us with drivers and trucks for a few days, and the city's response was really a partnership with state and county agencies, which we did really well. That was the right response. And so, but I agree with Craig, if we had a, we had
an earthquake or something like that.
We haven't really instructed neighbors on what to do.
And Chief, I can tell you, I'm an emergency preparedness specialist in my ward, and I can tell you that the stake on the west side of North Salt Lake has been zero. There's nothing.
And that's true with the Eaglewood stake. There's a stake that goes into Bountiful.
Parkway.
Is it Parkway? But I think they have done some things. But it's really kind of a stake decision how much they want to emphasize it within their own stake. The stake I'm in Farmington, I mean, they've gone out and they've bought like Bongjong radios for everybody, and they test them every month, and they have a staff member from Farmington City that sits there and says, I can hear you, I can hear you.
Wow.
And they have a little flag that the neighborhood coordinators put up in their driveway so we know where to run and say we're still alive or whatever. And they're way more prepared than even I am. I'm like ready to huddle into my basement and turn on my generator and all my TV works.
Well, if the city is looking to partner, you know, it's going to rely on the church organization, the city's going to have to put their feet to the fire and say, we need to do this because we don't have the ability to manage it on a year-to-year basis. So,
I will bring up that idea in the discussion about this in city council when we get there. I feel like the role of a citizen committee is to advise city council and staff what the citizens would want to have in their city, which is one reason why I agree. I don't think emergency preparedness should be part of this scope. And if it is its own volunteer citizen group, I see that less of an advisory role and more of a management role, that they are managing now these neighborhood connections and radios or education, but it's not really advising the city, like, this is how we think emergencies should be managed in this city, because I feel like...
Because the city's the expert.
Exactly. and I don't actually want to take, like, my neighbor's opinion about this is what you should do if there's an earthquake. No, I want the fire department to tell me what I should do. I want...
Exactly.
So I think either creating something different, but it would be with the scope of your job is community connection and management, and maybe partnering with the LDS Church to capitalize on that, but I also agree it's beyond the scope of kind of how we develop what we focus on.
And just to put in perspective, when we went back to Emmitsburg, Maryland for training for the FEMA, for the governments, they recognized the very unique position that Utah was in to have our neighborhoods so well organized by a volunteer organization such as the church. There's really no other place in the United States that has that level of unanimous involvement. Now, like you said, things are at different levels. And we could maybe call the stake leaders and say, we want to put your feet to the fire, but my position has always been, we're here to support you with what we can do when you're ready, but until you're ready to have people involved, it's like neighborhood watch. We'll be spinning our wheels, until a neighborhood group gets together and says, we want to be the emergency, or we are the emergency coordinators for our neighborhood. This is what we think we need. Who should we contact if we have a house that's collapsed or something and the fire department is completely occupied on a medical somewhere? Because let's face it, there could be situations where our fire department or the police or public works are all uniquely on calls. They couldn't respond to something like that. So who within that neighborhood has some training through CERT, through search and rescue? It's amazing what these neighborhoods have.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and they could help.
Would it be something you would be willing to make a phone call to the state president and just say, look, we're here to, you know, this is a gap we see, and just bring it up? Because I can tell you, Foxborough...
Would be the first time I called one of them guys up and told them I had a better way to run the system than they did.
Well...
I'm
just kidding. I don't do that.
I've done that with mental health stuff.
Yeah,
but
and they're pretty receptive.
Our ward has a plan, because I wrote it, and then one of the high councilmen was trying to get it adopted as the state plan as well. And I don't know...
Did it happen?
No, because it's not a priority.
Mm.
So, but I mean, as far as communication, yes, everybody will check on their neighbors. But as far as communicating information that needs to go up and down, if there's a major earthquake, they don't have that nailed down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who has a ham radio? Who has...
Which we do. We have ham radio operators
mm-hmm.
that come and test their equipment at this building every month.
Yeah.
And they've got an office in the darkest recesses of this basement, but it does have good antenna service that they could communicate.
So there is ham radio. We do have a ham radio system,
mm-hmm.
which would be good. We need it.
In the earlier months of this committee, when we were exploring emergency preparedness and where we might fit into that, I remember feeling confident that what was available for the city was going to meet the needs of the city in an emergency, not maybe the community engagement piece, but like, someone's going to shut off your gas. Somebody's going to come to your house if you need to be evacuated. It maybe will take a minute, but the needs are going to get.
Yeah, I think so.
But one thing that you're talking about, you brought up a really good point. One thing our neighborhood did do is they invested in those cheap little gas shut-off wrenches that are like $2 a piece,
yeah.
and made sure every house had one with instructions of how to work and to not go test it out because the gas company has to come back out and turn it back on if you do it. But that's a really good thing that I think neighborhood committees
mm-hmm.
should be engaged with, because there is no way we're going to be able to go around and turn the, and neither will Dominion, turn off the gas to every house.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was a gas leak, it would be great that neighbors knew how to turn that off and then get that reported to Dominion through our
mm-hmm.
EOC that we would have set up here.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So that's a good point, Elisa. I like that.
No,
thank you.
Nice to see you.
So just for when Jane is leaving now, she will never.
7:15.
I remember we had this discussion because that guy
mm-hmm.
came and spoke to us. The guy was like on the roof before we got here. What was his name? That was like Mr. Preparedness.
Yeah,
guy.
The guy that's from the city that.
Marty.
Yeah,
Marty.
Marty.
Yeah.
Stephen.
Yeah. So I remember him, and I remember we had this discussion. I think that was
yeah.
when we decided,
yeah.
I don't think this, because he like wanted to
he was
get hired
go.
And
as
do
big
things.
As we want to go.
Yeah.
He was ready
and
to
we
go.
Were like,
he's Ooh. Still ready to go if the city wanted to.
Well, I remember when I didn't know who he was. I got here at the meeting. He was on the roof, like
Peterson.
Welcoming everybody. Peterson. I'm like, who is that guy?
Yeah, I don't know why.
And then he was in here speaking.
Check us out.
Yeah,
he's looking for cracks.
Well, that's good. I think it's good for you to report back to council.
I will.
Yeah.
And I will ask if they, I think something like this will require a high level of investment in volunteer coordinating. And so the council will have to decide if that is a priority. And where they
or just like Craig said, you know, just deciding what do we want to do as a community? Do we want to push CERT trained people in every neighborhood? Because we've tried that. We've even said we would
pay
for the CERT training, and there's just no interest whatsoever.
That seemed like a
you
big
know,
thing years ago. It seemed, maybe I'm just not paying attention.
Every time there's
like
a big earthquake, it becomes a really
yeah.
big thing for a little while.
Yeah, there was the Magna one, what, 2 years ago
yeah.
now?
during COVID, yeah.
But CERT training is pretty advanced medical training.
Well, yeah, I remember we all had to go through it.
It's
when
like
I lived in Wells Pound. Yeah.
Okay,
they told me I couldn't get into
anyway,
the city.
For next week, I'm basically just going to put it forward and say, we don't think that this is part of our scope. And you guys...
I'll put it in the slide presentation she's going to make.
Great, yeah. And I'll basically just punch it and say, this is what we think. We believe it should be a separate committee. And you guys can discuss what that will look like. Because you don't need us to, you don't need me to describe to them. You can talk to them about what we just talked about.
Yeah. And then, Janet, just to respond to yours, I'd have to think about whether I would be willing to call up a leader of any organization and tell them that I think they need to get off the dime on something else. It's really their organization, and they should be listening to their members and their participants with that, not maybe having somebody from the government calling them up and saying,
I didn't mean for you to tell them, just say, this is what we can offer and can be part of
your partner. Yeah.
Sure.
And I think that might come from the conversation with City Council. Like, if this is something we want to prioritize, then maybe we decide we are going to deliberately go through this kind of partnership and contact the stakes in the city and say, hey, we know you have some infrastructure to coordinate in neighborhoods, and we'd like to partner with you to kind of connect to and collaborate with that infrastructure. And maybe create a citizen committee that you are the stake presidents or whomever the designee sits on that committee and comes and talks about this is what we're doing. But I also agree it's beyond the scope of what we do here. Could be a very cool committee also.
I don't think we could do one more committee. No, I'm just telling you. It would be difficult for us to do another committee.
First staff.
But I will tell you there are very good organized communities in the South Davis area that could guide any of these. It's basically stakes that are willing to say, we can identify onboard people that would do this on a volunteer basis. And there's great people that could help train them.
Yeah.
I agree with what Craig just said. And by saying that, I didn't mean to say, please don't form a committee. I just meant that I think a citizen committee on emergency preparedness would require more time from the city staff than probably what we have right now, because that kind of a committee will get lit up pretty good.
Chief, what I can do is...
And it probably doesn't take a
committee. I know the High Councilman who was pushing this.
Yeah.
And I might be able to, prime the clock.
Perfect.
With that.
I'm glad to talk to him or
okay.
The big guy.
It would be good.
Okay. Make a note.
Is it Hanson?
No, Chad Rollins. Okay. The quarterly newsletter spotlight, that's my understanding that Linda is probably pretty close to wanting to send that out.
17/18.
Yeah. So do we have any recommendations on what topic we would like highlighted? It's supposed to, according to our goals.
We're
going
to piggyback it with the trail series.
That's what I thought.
So I think for this cycle, probably nothing in the newsletter. And then the next time we go, we do something for the it says 3 times per year, newsletter spotlight, and outdoor amenity, their online time. So I think Mason's probably going to work with when that comes out.
I was going to write a little blurb up for Linda. That was the way I read everything.
For the trail series, right? Yeah, that's my understanding, too.
For the April.
I don't know the timing. It depends on when those dates are for the trail series.
Okay.
I think we should do something on emergency preparedness.
Yeah, we
stuck in the hall. I think we talked about that one.
We should do a call out. Hey, stake president.
Yeah.
Do you have an infrastructure that organizes your whole neighborhood? We've got a job for you.
Call Chief Black.
What's wrong with you people?
I just think you need to
schedule another meeting and tell people to vote. That's all you've been doing lately.
Yeah, right. Okay, number nine, discussion on feedback from other committees. I think Mason was the only one that would have potentially.
He was to the Parks and Arts Board.
Yeah, so we'll.
Did Valerie have an assignment for one, for which committee she was connected to?
No.
Do we have the list of committees? It should be in those notes.
Can't remember if she did or not.
She didn't ever take any action items.
I don't think. When we were organizing them, I remember her saying she had something going on or something.
Yeah, there it is. Youth City Council, Chase, would you like to be the coordinator with Youth City Council? What that means is you'll connect with the chair or the advisor of Youth City Council and just have an open dialogue of asking them to talk with their group and say, hey, what would youth health and wellness matters in the city? What would the youth say matters? And then they would report that back to you and you would come and report that back to us. But just kind of an ongoing dialogue. You can go to their actual meetings. Or you can just choose to like email or text her if it's Audrey and she's lovely and she lives in Buffalo.
I don't think you have, it doesn't mean you have to go every time.
No.
It's like once.
Like once a year. Or even.
Those 10 mean like every week.
Oh, we'll send you Audrey's contact information.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
You have to go do that every week with them.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be able to do every week.
Or if they came up with some sort of a health and wellness activity that they wanted the committee's assistance with and advertising it or getting some word out or some other kind of participation. Just kind of letting them know that the health and wellness committee exists, what our purposes are, and you know, if they see some collaboration that they would like to make in the future, please keep us in mind.
They might not even realize that we exist.
I'm sure. Doubt that they do.
This isn't intended to be a big assignment.
No.
It's just a one-time contact.
No, I'm happy to do that.
Great.
I do think there might be some real insight, though, from the youth of this is what I see other youth struggling with in the city. This is what kind of communities that care classes we think should be in the community.
Yeah, and maybe you could take 5 minutes in one of their weekly meetings and just say, you know, you're on the committee and ask that very question.
Maybe. Yeah.
What do you think the issues are in the community?
They're pretty in
mental
tune
wellness.
With like school and stuff. I mean, it's
they are
in tune with mental health stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay.
My kids ask me stuff, and I'm like, "We talked about that today. It's cool."
Yeah.
Okay. Item number 10: City Council update. Melissa, anything you need to know?
Yes, the next annual wellness survey has opened. I think today posted, because it's Monday, right? My days are messed up. Posted it today. It's open typically for 3 weeks. Please share that out in your own social networks. Please do the survey as well. There is a threshold number, and I think it's about 375, that if we don't get up to that number, it really compromises our ability to say that this is representative of our city. Last time, we were well above that. But we pushed it, I think we pushed it hard, both in these like kind of viral networks and then also through social media. But please, please encourage people to take that.
Where is the link?
I saw it on Facebook, but we can email it out to you. And then you can email it out to everyone.
Senior Lunch Bunch meets Wednesday.
Excellent.
And if we can get a flyer, they'll need the paper.
Or even if there were some like iPads, we could just take that. And they can just fill it out.
Because the link is not like a little link, it's a long link.
Okay.
So, but if we could get them.
Does the city have
some iPads in McKenzie's office?
Well, we could put the link on the website, which I think most of them do understand if they don't have to go to social media.
Okay.
Well, can anybody but Linda do that, though?
Yes.
Yes, Alex can.
Okay.
If we, even if we could get screenshots to say you go to the city website and this is where
it's been posted. It's been posted on Instagram and Facebook.
And on our city Facebook page.
Which will help most residents, but the seniors might not be on social media. So
last time, did you put a flyer in the utility bill? I know we talked about that, but I'm not sure it happened.
So. I don't know, though.
We were a little rushed last time.
Yeah. Well, Senior Lunch Bunch meets Wednesday, so
probably.
If I can have something tangible, or I'll look at maybe seeing.
Maybe you can make an announcement.
Yeah, well, I'm, I, don't know that we've ever had like a PowerPoint to show them.
Sometimes,
I mean,
depends on who's presenting.
Yeah. So Wendy. She's probably not listening to this
before Wednesday.
No, I'll tell her. I made a note of it.
Yeah, if she can.
I'll get something for the senior lunch bunch.
Okay, that would be great, because I think they were actually a lot of participants.
That's great.
So anyway, okay. Committee member business. I have one item. On row number 6, collaborate with the health department for the use of city facilities for department programs. And Ken, since you were here last month, and didn't...
Yes, I reached out to Issa, and she said she got back to me and said she's taking it to the leadership of the health department, so they will get back to us.
Okay. Can you include that in the
presentation, yes. She'll probably get back to me next time.
Okay.
I have one more thing, sorry, I should say in the council report if I can. It was also brought up in city council last time, another council member who is on the Parks and Arts Board, and the Parks and Arts Board does many events for the city throughout the year, and she brought up the idea that we do have a lot of events across a wide scope of interests, and that it might be worth the city council just reviewing all of those events and prioritizing them and just verifying that we value all of those and we do want to put our time and our resources into those. So I want to say for this committee also, for the events that we have, if there are some that you think, yes, for sure, we really value this, that will be helpful for me to know going into some of these conversations, which we're not having imminently, but this I think will be coming in the next couple of weeks or months. We'll start having a conversation about city events and not being spread too thin, and are our events meeting the needs of residents and how many residents. I am a believer that all events do not have to be big events, and I like small events that target different areas within the city, like families with young kids, seniors, like not every event has to be for the whole city. But I also think that has to be balanced with the scope of work for the people that are running the events. So if there is feedback or information about which of our events matter the most to you, I would love to have.
Anybody else? Okay, discussion and schedule for next meeting. I would like to have a short agenda item to talk about the health and wellness fair and see if anybody has any suggestions on what they would like to see, you know, what kinds of offerings you would like to see there over and above what I've done in the past. So if you can be thinking about that before next month, and give me any ideas you may have when we get there, because in April I'll be ramping up, starting all of the community contacts.
And for Chase's benefit, we do that in August with the night out, or in conjunction with the night out of Frank.
Yeah, I think
night
that was
out
the last one.
Yeah, we do.
Great. I did have a question in relation to events like this, and it kind of, I guess, applies to the Night Out Against Crime event, but is there statistics we have available that are showing us what mental health concerns are mainly affecting the city, or what crimes are mainly affecting the city that we can focus on at events like this? Or
that's a good question. The Health and Wellness Survey gives us some good feedback about mental health reports of how people are doing. Most of the information that we get from that simply says people tend to feel like they're doing okay, but their neighbors are struggling.
Yeah.
I'm fine, but everyone else is a mess.
Which I get, but I guess in conjunction with Chief,
Your
last
name
is Black,
right?
Craig is fine in here.
Craig, with Craig's department, is, do you guys have like statistics available on like addiction arrests regarding addiction that affect our city, things like that?
Not to that level. We have basic crime stats to IVR.
Okay.
But to put a causation in those that we're not usually qualified to diagnose. Now, we do have statistics that say, okay, we responded on, 75 domestic disturbances last month, and of those, alcohol was involved in 70 of them. I mean, we could get those kind of statistics.
That's what I mean.
But to say somebody's you know, got a mental illness, unless they're, yeah, we don't even have
an actual crisis and somebody calls for a CAP officer or something.
We wouldn't even have really a place in our report to put like a HIPAA type diagnosis.
What about?
Well, I mean, like if someone is involuntarily or voluntarily
we have voluntary commitments,
process,
yeah, we have those.
Like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it'd be really helpful if I could see statistics.
What if we,
like
yeah, maybe have
well.
As an agenda item, just an overview, crime overview? Like, you have an MO this many types of crimes?
We do. We are now 5 months into a county records management system that we're still kind of battling for these kind of statistics. In fact, I've got two employees going to a meeting tomorrow to go to war with a Layton person over this, but theoretically, yes, we should be able to get those things. So if you, if this committee is interested in, like, how many cases do we have on a monthly basis or year-to-date that involved voluntary or involuntary commitments, I could have that information.
That would be great, yes.
Substance use.
Overdoses?
They've taken that. We do have overdoses. They took that code out, and we're trying to get them to put it back in right now, but, so.
Just those reports. You know, crime contributes a lot to health and wellness, so maybe if we can have an annual report just to see year over year, is there a trend down per capita? I mean, the city's growing, and so we're going to have, that's going to impact numbers, but.
So for some of those, it's already out there, and I can bring you the specifics, but if you go to the state of Utah's Crime in Utah, you can go to any city or county and see year-to-date year-to-year comparisons of each city that reports, and we do report. So not only can you see what we're doing, but you can see what the cities around us are doing.
Maybe, Craig, when you come back, when we put you on the agenda with some crime stats, you could maybe show us the website.
Yep.
We could look at it in the Salt Lake.
That's a good idea.
Is it true?
Crime in Utah does not, but the health department does.
Does Utah even charge suicide as a crime anymore?
No, but the health department tracks.
Okay.
The health department tracks the number of suicides. I think they even break it down by age and gender, maybe even race.
Attempts and complete?
I don't think so, because a non-completed suicide probably would not get reported to the state.
Unless they ended up in involuntary or voluntary.
That
care.
Wouldn't get reported to the state either. So
really?
Like,
oh.
Like we, if we do an involuntary commitment, we don't report that to the state.
Interesting.
We only report what's called part one or part two crimes to the state. So they're very limited. I think there's 4 part one crimes and 4 part two crimes. But to Janice's point, those are nationally recognized standards that are universally reported the same way across all the lines.
Oh, great.
That helps ensure you're not comparing apples to oranges.
Sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Okay. For Chase and Corey's benefit, just so you know, we've added for this year to make it easier on Wendy and to make sure that we're have placeholders for things. There's some items here that will be on every agenda, and there are things like discussion on feedback from other committees. City Council update, committee member business, discussion on agenda and schedule for the next meeting. So if there's ever anything that, I mean, it's hard for Wendy as she's transcribing things, okay, does that need to be on the next agenda? So if there's specific things we want to make sure that we highlight in order to hit a goal, or we know that something that one of us is responsible for is going to be coming up and we need feedback or we need to talk about it, let us know at this point at the end of the meeting so that we can make sure it gets on the agenda for next month. Because if there's nothing on the agenda, we may cancel the meeting, you know, if there's really nothing to talk about. So, does anybody have anything they want to talk about right now? Other than the one about the one screen?
You just confirm those topics you want me to put in reports back on. I've got
I guess
commitments, overdoses, substance abuse, crime trends.
Crime trends, yeah. Addiction and crime trends would be what I'd be most interested in saying.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know that we have addiction stats in the police department, but I could tell you the number of calls year to date that we've had substance abuse type stuff.
That'd be great.
And the other item for you, Chief, is mental. Can you get back to us on dates for the communities that they're...
Yeah, I've got that written down there. So the Everyday Strong is the one that you want to look at for the fall, late summer, fall. Social Development Strategy is the 90-minute one. And when they can do that, or if they...
In fact, if you have some resolution tomorrow with Danielle, we could just email the group.
Right. If it'll happen before the...
Yeah.
Before or around the same time as the next meeting.
Yeah.
Just okay. Anybody have anything else?
I totally forgot it was daylight savings. I was very confused when I woke up.
Yeah.
Today or yesterday? Did you call a day before you
knew
that?
No, it was, I guess it would have been Sunday morning, yeah. Right? So, yeah, no, I was like...
Me too, I forgot too.
All my clocks are an hour off, and my phone is saying a different thing. I don't understand. It must have been daylight savings.
And just, I'll shoot Mason an email reminding him to touch bases with Linda about the newsletter.
Great, thank you.
Because I think that's going to be something coming up with for him too. And I will reach out to Chad Rawlings about the emergency preparedness issue. And see if at least I can create some sort of linkage, even though it's not going to work.
But you are a citizen.
I am
advocating in your city.
Yeah.
And you know the chief of police.
I do. I know people in
the police.
Yeah.
You got
a
tie in
there. I am local. Call.
Yeah. I mean, what the heck? I give up a long time ago. I'll throw them.
Just call them.
Hold the town hall. So I actually did that up here.
Give them a call up there and pull them up.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
You don't have to, but... So moved. Oh, I can't. I'm actually not voting him.
I can motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
You can declare that as the chair.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, you can just say we're adjourned.
Yeah. Sit here and chat.
Yeah, it's great to see you.
Yeah.
I kind of did like a little spill.